We're reading this morning from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 4. I think it's 42, yeah, it's chapter 42. Chapter 42, I think it's a wrong canto here. It's a wrong canto here. It's in the first part, I think we'll probably need the next segment. Chapter 42, verse number 3. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The maidservant replied, "O handsome one, I am a servant of Kim Kamsa, who highly regards me for the ointments I make. My name is Trivakra. Who else but you too deserve my ointments, which the Lord of the Bhojas likes so much?" Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Trivakra, who is also known as Kubja, used the singular address Sundar, "O handsome one," to hint that she felt conjugal desire for Krishna alone, and she used the dual form Yuvam for both of you to try to hide her conjugal sentiment. The hunchback's name Trivakra indicates that her body was bent at the neck, chest and waist. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate girim yatkrapatamaham vande shri gurum dinatarinam shri chaitanya ishwaram paramananda madhavam namaum vishnupadaya krishna preshthaya bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are continuing this morning from where we left yesterday in our talk on the subject matter of Krishna blessing the hunchback lady Kubja. And in our talk yesterday morning, just as a quick 5 minutes recap, we heard about how at the age of 11, Lord Krishna, a little over 11, Lord Krishna leaves Vrindavan to go to Mathura. Out of the 125 years of Lord Krishna's presence on planet Earth, 11 years go in spending at home, in loving reciprocations and relationships, and 114 years go in establishing governance, where it just is taking care of his mission and responsibilities. And therefore, there is less fun and more work. Generally, we in the Hare Krishna movement, we heard yesterday, tend to just be relaxed. If you remember, I mentioned about the happy-go-lucky Hare Krishnas, who love to just make fun, eat prasad, chant Hari bowls, you know. And then we spoke about the miserable, constipated Hare Krishnas, who just look at the mission side and hard work, and there is no balance in life. Balance means we take care of the mission while enjoying our spiritual life. And therefore Krishna, we heard about how he goes on the mission. And if you remember, we heard about the two missions that every sadhaka has. Krishna was out of Vrindavan to go to Mathura on two missions. One was the mission of spreading bhakti and giving bhakti to many outside Vrindavan. And the second mission, of course, was to kill the demons like Kamsa, Jarasandha, Kalayavan, and establish governance by supporting the Pandavas on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So we heard as a sadhaka also we have two missions. First is assisting Srila Prabhupada in giving the process of Krishna consciousness to others. And second, of course, is to try and deal with the demons within, the Kamsas, the Jarasandhas, the Kalayavans, which exist within our hearts. So we heard how we have to be happy, but serious. Serious in following the missions, but while being very happy. And we see how Krishna does that in a very effective way. He's taking care of his mission, but doing it in a very happy way, not miserable. you know, doing it in a jovial, funny, joyful way. And we heard some stories of Prabhupada, how very serious about his mission, yet very joyful, very funny, very light-hearted. And then yesterday we also heard how Krishna, on the streets of Mathura, while walking in the hustle-bustle, thousands of people, so much noise and sound, in that whole scenario, Krishna spots out a lady across the street, and Krishna crosses the street to go and attend to this lady. Yesterday we heard the three adjectives for her: yuvatim, very young; varana nam, very charming face; but kubjam, hunchbacked. So insignificant was this lady that no one knew her name. Her name is not known. Kubja means hunchback. That's not her name. It's an adjective for her, hunchbacked. And Trivakra, as it comes in the verse today, is not her name. Trivakra Nama. She was known as Trivakra. Her name wasn't Trivakra. Trivakra, Ashtavakra, Ashtavakra Muni, bent in eight places. Trivakra, bent in three places. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, bent at the neck, chest and the waist. So, she was not even known to anyone. Such an insignificant person. Carrying a tray of ointments in her hand. Not even known to anyone. And Krishna crossed the street all the way to go and give attention to her. Why? Yesterday we discussed this. Why does a book distributor go and give a book only to one person out of the thousands of people who are going there on the streets? And we heard about the principle of how Krishna motivates that compassion in the heart of a devotee. How Bhakti Devi motivates that compassion in the heart of a devotee. Why only one person on the street? There's thousands. Why only that Kubja, where there were thousands walking on the streets of Mathura? Krishna could have gone and attended to anyone. But he went and attended particularly to this lady known as Kubja. And then second thing also we heard yesterday morning of how our acharyas have explained. Krishna doesn't get in the spell of Maya, but Krishna teaches us a lesson through the story of how the face from a distance was very charming and the distorted features were not seen by Krishna. Attracted by that face, Krishna crossed the street to go there, leaving behind his friends. And we heard yesterday how a devotee also sometimes getting charmed by the attraction of the material energy in the form of science, technology, opposite sex, fame, power, leaves behind the association of friends and devotees. And when one comes close, then one realizes, oh, she's Kubja, oh, she's Trivakra, not what she seemed to be. So we heard that in our yesterday's talk. Continuing on with that story, Krishna comes to Kubja and asks her, Kastvam varoru etadu hanu lepanam kasyanganeva kathayasya saduna. Who are you? Whom are you carrying these ointments for? What is your purpose of walking on the streets and where are you going? And what he addresses her? Varoru, oh beautiful one. My God, that is an insult. When someone's not beautiful, she was hunchback. Trivakra, bent in three places. What an insult to call someone who's not so good looking, oh good looking one. God, that's too much. You know, like if the brahmacharis are bald and someone says, oh one with such fine hair. That's crazy, isn't it? Oh one with this beautiful fine long hair. That's an insult. That's an insult. Sometimes people can insult you in so many different ways. Joke, taunt, that's how the world is somehow. You know, people make taunts, they joke, they look down upon people, speak sometimes in a very condescending way. Was Krishna taunting Kubja? Was Krishna making a joke at Kubja by saying, oh most beautiful one, Varoru, where she's Kubja and Trivakra, hunchbacked and bent in three places? Sometimes people can make such jokes. A husband comes to a wife and on the 50th birthday of the wife decides to glorify the wife and says to the wife, you are A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. But the wife was stunned. Come, say it again. Said, you are A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, H, I, J, K. So what do you mean? He said, you are A for adorable, B for beautiful, C for charming, D for dexterous, E for enchanting, F for fashionable, G for gorgeous, H for hardworking. And he fell quiet. She said, what about IJK? And the husband said, I am just kidding. You know, with all of those qualities that I mentioned about you, adorable, beautiful, charming, fashionable, gorgeous, I'm just kidding. People can be kidding so many times when they say good things about us. As jokes, you know. Sometimes people can say good things about us. All we should take it as is a good joke. It's a good joke that people are saying good things about us. You know. Is Krishna joking with Kubja? Is he taunting Kubja? By calling her Varoru? First two verses, Shukdev Goswami has used the words Kubja and Trivakra to say how she is not so beautiful and appealing, and he is calling her Varoru. Oh, beautiful one. Why? Why? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, because Krishna knew very well that very soon he was going to actually make her beautiful. A person who takes admission in an engineering college, in the first year of engineering college, if you call him, oh engineer, it's not wrong. It's prospectively, he's going to be an engineer. If Krishna comes and says, Varoru, oh beautiful one, there's nothing wrong with that. Because Krishna knew very soon he will actually make her extremely beautiful. And therefore, the nectar of devotion, Rupa Goswami explains, one of the qualities of Krishna is he is Satyavak. And Satyavak means one whose words always come to a pass. One whose words will never, ever fail. For example, if I say to him sitting in front, you know, you will very soon be a multi-billionaire. If I was Satyavak, he would actually be a multi-billionaire. Now he's praying to Radha Gokulan, make him Satyavak. He's praying, Krishna, please make him Satyavak, so that his words will come to a pass. Those words will come true. When Krishna says something, the Lord says something, those words have to come to a pass. So if Krishna says to Kubja, Varoru, now, later, some point of time, those words have to come to a pass. When Vibhishan left Ravana and came on the shores of the ocean to take shelter of Lord Ramchandra, Lord Ram, of course, consulted all the other Vanaras and everyone. Should we give him shelter? Should we not give him shelter? Many denied we shouldn't. Hanuman said we should. And Lord Ram said, okay, all your opinions said and done. I must give shelter to him. And when Vibhishan came to Lord Ram, the first word that Ram used to address Vibhishan was, Hey Rajan, O King. Vibhishan was not the king of Lanka. Ravan was the king of Lanka. But Lord Ram addressed Vibhishan as, Hey Rajan. And if he says, Hey Rajan, it's only a matter of time. Because the Lord is Satyavak. If he says something, it has to come to a pass. In the Bhagavad Gita, what does Lord Krishna say to Arjuna? My dear Arjuna, Mayyeva ete nihitam purvameva. I have already killed everyone on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Nimitta matram bhava savyasachi. Now you simply become an instrument in my hands. Now when Lord Krishna says, I have already killed them, the battle is over. Because whatever Krishna says must come to a pass. And that is the meaning of the word Satyavak. One whose words must come to a pass. One whose words will never, ever fail. So Krishna was not joking with Kubja. He was not taunting Kubja. When he said to her, Varoru, O beautiful one, he said it because he knew. Soon will Kubja become extremely beautiful. You know, and that is exactly how the process of sadhana bhakti works. Today we may not be beautiful. Today we may be very crooked. And there is so much crookedness in the mind. We are not Trivakra, we are Sahastravakra. Sahastra means thousand. Trivakra is only bent at three places. Ashtavakra is only bent at eight places. Sahastravakra, crooked in thousand ways. How many crooked ways will a person adopt? God, Hare Krishna. Crooked ways to get one's job done. You know. Crooked ways to get one's job done. One time NASA decided that they would send man on Mars. You know, you send a man on Mars. But if you send a man on Mars, it's like a suicidal mission. Gone up, he'll never come back. Gone, never to return. You know. So when he decided that they'll launch a man on Mars, so they decided to announce, you know, whoever wants to come, you can apply for this post of going to the Mars, but you must know it's a path of no return. Gone, gone. So you can quote whatever prize you want. No problem, because you're gone, gone. So American, German and Indian, three men applied. You know, two were astronauts. The Indian was a politician. You know, so the American man came to the NASA HR man. The NASA guy asked a few questions. You know, right? When you go, you won't never come back. Of course I know. So what's your quotation? Said, $1 billion. Said, that's too much, man. Said, of course. I go, I don't come back. So what will you do with $1 billion if you're gone? I'll give it to my family. Have a good. And they called the German man. So the Germans, the NASA man asked, how much you quote? He said, $2 billion. I said, two? That guy was quoting one. You're quoting two. Why? He said, path of no return. I'll give $1 billion to my family, $1 billion in charity, you know, benefit people also, no? Fine, I'm going. Then they called the Indian politician. I said, how much is your quotation? He said, $3 billion. I said, Hari, that American guy is asking $1 billion. The German guy is asking $2 billion. You're asking for $3 billion. Why? He told the interviewer, you keep $1 billion. I'll keep $1 billion. And we'll send the American on Mars. He's only quoting $1 billion anyway. So you keep one, I'll keep one, and we'll send the guy on Mars. Huh? I'll tell you, we are Sahastravakra. Crooked. What kind of crooked means people will adopt to get their work done in the world outside? Incredible. And forget the world outside. Sometimes in devotee communities, what kind of crookedness can be adopted to is stunning. Outside it is natural, expected. Expected. When you don't have change of heart, the anarthas rule and the anarthas make a person behave in crooked ways. Understandable. But amongst devotees, in devotee communities, adopting crooked ways, politics, God, Prabhupada hated it. If there's one thing that Prabhupada did not like and did not have any room for in devotee communities and societies, is dirty politics. Dirty politics. And dirty politics is driven by the Sahastravakra nature. Crookedness of the heart. You know. And therefore, as sadhakas, we may find a lot of these kind of anarthas, negativities lurking in the heart. No problem. Sadhana bhakti is a path of becoming beautiful. Krishna makes us beautiful. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes a very long time. It takes many lifetimes. You know. But Krishna does make a person beautiful. And therefore, what do we want to hear from Krishna? All we want to hear from Krishna is, O beautiful one. Led by our sincere devotion to Krishna, Krishna utter these words, O beautiful one. Because when Krishna utters these words for us, O beautiful one, it is certain that we will be beautiful one day. And beauty, as we will discuss a little later, has less to do with what we look like and has a lot to do with what we are. You know? And it's not just that that Krishna is Satyavak, but the great devotees are also Satyavak. The pure devotees of the Lord also share the same quality as Krishna, but what a pure devotee says also must come to a pass. Also must come to a pass. Therefore, we don't want to even hear from Krishna that we are beautiful. We want to hear from a pure devotee. O beautiful one, O sincere one. And it's only a matter of time that things will all start falling in place. Not that we shouldn't do our part. Of course we should do our part. And doing our part is to solicit that word from a pure devotee. Krishna is a good guy. Krishna is a nice devotee. Krishna is a very sincere person. When we serve a pure devotee, when we serve great souls, and a great soul says this to Krishna, done. Krishna cannot go back on the word of a pure devotee. Therefore, Brahma, my God, what overconfidence. Whew. We have to read the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and a verse in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, my God, that gentleman Brahma is just too overconfident. One verse, you can look it up in the Veda base. Beautiful verse. Na bharati menga mrishopalakshate. talking to Narada, "Oh Bharati, namrishopalakshate. When I speak, none of my words can be proven false." He's telling straight. Whatever I say will come true. Satyavak, isn't it? Name kvachin me manaso mrishagati. No wrong thought can ever come in my mind. Manasagati hi. Never a wrong thought cannot come in my mind. Goodness. This is just first two lines of the verse. You can see his overconfidence already. I'm telling you the third one also now. First line, my word will never be proven false. Second line, my mind can never be polluted with a dirty thought. No wrong thought can ever come in my mind. Third line, name rishikani patyantya satpathe, my senses can never fall to anything wrong. I think this is three things that we would want, yeah? How many of us would want these three things? Our word should always come true, isn't it? So that when we say, you go to hell, that person will go to hell, the person whom I don't like. How many of us would like that our mind should never be polluted by a thought during japa? My goodness, Hare Krishna. And how many would want that our senses never fall to wrong things, our eyes, our ears, our tongue, our sense of touch? My God. This person, Brahma, is saying these three lines, but is also saying why. So he's not overconfident. In the fourth line, he explains why. Yan me hrida autkanthya vatadrita hari. Autkanthya. Autkanthya comes from the word utkantha. Kantha in Sanskrit means neck. Kantha. From the kantha, kanthi. Kanthi mala. Kanthi means that which decorates the kantha. Kantha means neck. And utkantha means to raise the neck, the head, like this from the neck. That's called utkantha. So when a lady is at home and the husband's gone away, husband's not come home for a long time, and then the husband returns back, then the lady will eagerly every day wait like this. Has he come back? Has he come back? Has he come back? Therefore the word utkantha means eagerness. In Sanskrit, the word utkantha means eagerness, but this is the breakup of the word. Kantha means neck and ut means to raise the neck like this and eagerly see, has he come? Where is he? Where is he? Utkantha means eagerness. So what is Brahma saying? Yan merhidi, in my heart, autkanthyavata, with great eagerness. What do I do? Dhritaha Hari. Constantly I hold on, grab on the feet of Lord Hari. With great eagerness, I'm always holding on the feet of Lord Hari. And because I'm doing that, my words can never be proven false. Because I'm doing that, my mind can never have a wrong thought. Because I'm doing that, my senses can never fall to anything wrong. Such a devotee who with utkantha has grabbed the lotus feet of Hari in the heart, such a person's words can never be proven false. And therefore, such a devotee also becomes satyavak. When such a devotee, a pure soul, says something, those words, Krishna has no choice. Actually, Krishna is helpless. God is helpless. In front of a devotee, he is helpless. Therefore, when Srimati Radharani says something, what can he do? Nothing. Nothing. God loses his power in front of someone who has hardly any power. Isn't it amazing? God loses his power in front of someone who has hardly any power. Physically, in terms of power, is nothing they have. But they have the greatest of all power. The power of love for Krishna. Because they love Krishna so much. Where there is love, there is control. Not control by force. Control by affection. That's how Srimati Radharani controls Krishna. That is how all the devotees control Krishna. You know, love controls. Love can control. And even amongst devotees, love can control. Not power and force. When power and force is used to control, that fries devotees. When love and affection is used to control, that inspires devotees. Therefore, in a community where love and affection doesn't prevail in management and leadership, and there is tension there always, everyone is always fried out. You know, control is very much appreciated, no problem. Control is only seen as control when there is no love. His Holiness Hridayanand Maharaj explains in one purport in the 11th canto. Control is only perceived and seen as control when there is no love. Whenever there is love, there is no question of feeling it as control. Krishna never feels that Radharani is controlling me. Krishna never feels that Srila Prabhupada was controlling him. Because there is affection. There is love. And thus, a devotee also automatically becomes Satyavak. And being controlled by the love of a devotee, Krishna has no choice. He becomes helpless. He has to make the word of a devotee come true. That word must come to a pass. And therefore, Vrindavan is a classic testimony to this fact. How the word of a devotee has to come to a pass. Here is Krishna in the courtyard of Mother Yashoda and Nanda, bound by the wooden grinding mortar. And now he starts, you know, crawling on the ground. You know, I don't know if Crawley got the name from Krishna's crawling. Krishna suddenly just came to my mind seeing one devotee from Crawley in this audience. You know, so Krishna starts crawling, you know, and while he's crawling with the wooden grinding mortar behind him, our acharyas have explained, Krishna was going a certain way. Krishna changed his direction. The only person who can make Krishna change his mind and change his direction is a devotee, a pure devotee. It's quite amazing. Quite amazing. Otherwise, Krishna's direction is decided. Who can decide? How can make Krishna change his direction? In the first canto, we find, Jai Shishi Radha Gokulanand Bhagavan ki, Jai. Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki, Jai. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a nice seminar our Radha Gopinath once did. And the title of the seminar was, When God Changes His Travel Plans. That was the title of the seminar. I'm sure you might want to know what is it. When God changes his travel plans. You know. And he spoke from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam of how Krishna changed his travel plans. He was on his way to go to Dwarka, but changed his travel plans because a pure devotee was waiting to leave his body, Pitamaha Bhishma. He was already on his way to Dwarka and he changed, brought all the Pandavas to the battlefield. We know in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami made Lord Chaitanya change his travel plan on his way to Vrindavan. You can't go. Who can make God change his plan? Only a pure devotee. God changes his plan. Therefore, he is not our hope. He is not going to do anything to us. A pure devotee, devotees are hope, because if they tell him, change your plan for this person, finish, that's it. Their word has to come to a pass. And therefore, as Krishna was bound by this mortar, crawling, suddenly, going in a certain direction, changed his direction towards the two Yamala Arjuna trees. Our acharyas have explained, he was not going in that direction. As he was crawling, suddenly he thought to himself, and this verse comes in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Rishair Bhagavata Mukhyasya Satyam Kartum Vacho Harihi. Rishair Bhagavata Mukhyasya, from the Mukha of his devotee Narada, whatever words have come, Satyam Kartum Vacho Harihi, to make his words true. Because Narada had said, Krishna will deliver you, to make the words of Narada come true, Krishna changed his plan and went through, you know. And therefore, what a blessing it is when a devotee says, may you be a multi-billionaire. If a pure devotee says, oh multi-billionaire, just wait and watch. Just wait and watch. But when will a pure devotee say, oh multi-billionaire, when he knows that he will give at least half a billion to the temple? This is not a fund collection lecture, by the way. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, his words were very clear. Chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, he said. be with devotees, render some devotional service, and I promise you will go back to Godhead. Sometimes devotees get trapped into these technicalities, you know. It's good to do technical analysis, but not at the cost of paralysis. You know, it's good to do technical analysis. Even I study a lot of Shastra. I don't speak that much all the time, the technical analysis. I study a lot of Shastra, hundreds of Shastras and so many commentaries. But to get into those technicalities, God, you can keep going. For the rest of your life, you can keep explaining every Sanskrit word with 10 meanings to each word, which word in what context, how it fits into the, oh, big deal. What's the big deal? Anyone can study. It's all available, all the commentaries, the Shastras. No big deal. We can get so caught up into the technicalities. When I go back to Godhead, will I first be under Ragatmika Bhakta? Will I first be under a Raganuga Bhakta? Will I keep being a Sadhaka Bhakta? Will I be a this Bhakta, that Bhakta? God, why so much technical analysis? We know one thing, that a pure devotee is Satyavak. His word never fails. What details and how it will come true is not our business. Our business is to execute the order of a pure devotee, to execute the words of a pure soul like Srila Prabhupada, and rest is his headache. Why should we take his headache on ours? We have even less headaches. We have less headaches in our life that we need to take his headache on ours as well. I don't think so. I truly don't. I remember once Shikshashtakam Prabhu was giving a class here, you know, and he spoke on the life of Ajamil here at the manor. And I can't remember, one devotee asked a question. One devotee had asked a question. That you said that the Vishnu Dutas took Ajamil. So Vishnu Dutas can take a soul up to Vaikuntha. But Goloka, is there someone called as Krishna Dutas? That was the question asked. Are there someone like Krishna Dutas who take Krishna, the soul to Goloka? Because Vishnu Dutas don't have entry inside Goloka. They are four-handed forms. So Shikshashtapuru answered by saying, firstly, I would like to say I don't know. But if you want me to philosophically speculate, I can. So whoever was answering, I can't remember who asked the question, but he said, okay, you can speculate. So since he got that sanction, so Shikshashtakam Prabhu said, oh, that's very simple. Vishnu Dutas will drop the soul at the gate of Goloka Vrindavan and he'll walk inside. Why they have to go inside to drop it? Drop him there? I like that as philosophical speculation. Yes, we can get trapped into all of the technicalities of the Shastra. Shastra is good to study. Definitely. That's what nourishes our intellect and keeps our intellect strong and doesn't allow us to fall a victim to the mind. But sometimes we can become niyamagrahis in the name of the Shastra. You know? They're just so attached to the rituals. Ritualistic understanding of the text of the letter of the law and not the spirit behind the law. As Jesus said in the Holy Bible. You know? And therefore, I think at the end of the day, there's one thing that we must know. If our founder Acharya, if the Sanstapaka Acharya of ISKCON has given us a process, why do we have to look for any other process for perfection? Do we have to look for any other process for perfection? Do we have to think about doing something else apart from our 16 rounds, apart from our four regulative principles, apart from reading his books, apart from serving the devotees in his communities and living in his community? Is there anything more that we need? When we don't have that faith that a pure devotee is Satyavak, then we look elsewhere. Because we don't trust that his word will come true. We don't have that faith, that trust that his words, Krishna can fulfill his words. Then we have to go around looking for something higher. Then we have to go around looking for something better. Why? Why when the Sanstapaka Acharya has given us a process and he's Satyavak and Krishna will fulfill the word of a pure devotee, technicalities are there. How those technicalities will come to a pass, not none of our business. Our business is only to do one thing, to remain faithful to the words of His divine grace. And if we are faithful, we must know that those words will come to a pass. I am a part of a community, a temple in Bombay, which is the proof of Satyavak. Srila Prabhupada was at that building called Bharati Vidya Bhavan in Bombay. And he looked into the direction where our temple is now, Radha Gopinath Mandir Chopati. And he said a temple should come up here. And no one worried about a temple. No one tried to get a property there. No one tried to work hard on that property. No one did anything. None of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada did anything to start a temple there. Because no one even thought, how would we get that? The property was so expensive in that place. How would we get that property? And in years, what was an orphanage, how things came up, how that deed of the orphanage, Lady Northcote Hindu orphanage, in that trust deed, the trustee had put one clause. All the orphans here should be trained by a Vaishnava organization. And one of the trustees was Srinathji Prabhu, who was a Hare Krishna devotee. So he brought ISKCON in there, and today it's a temple. Classic testimony to the fact that when a pure devotee utters something, it must come to a pass. Therefore, when Krishna says to Kubja, you know, Varoru, that's not a joke. It is not a taunt. It is very serious business. And very soon, Kubja will become extremely beautiful. When Krishna asks her this question, who are you? Where are you going? What are you doing this with this tree of ointments? Where are you heading towards? This is when she says this. Sairandhri Uvacha. You know, where she says, Dasas Dasyasmyaham Sundara Kamsa Sammata. O Sundar. She calls Krishna. O Sundar. O beautiful one. I am a servant, a maid servant of Kamsa. And I'm called Trivakra. I don't even know what my name is. No one knew her name. I'm called Trivakra, bent in three places. And I'm carrying this tray of ointments which is meant for Kamsa. He loves these ointments. Sandalwood paste. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained they were colorful paste. Blue, yellow, all varieties of colors. Oils, all which were meant cosmetics, you know, for Kamsa. So she said, but no one deserves these ointments more than you. Please take them. And Kubja offered the ointments meant for Kamsa to Krishna. Quite interesting. Extremely courageous. Just before he met Kubja, he had met the washerman and asked for clothes. He didn't offer the clothes. Just before he met Kubja, he had met Sudama the florist, and Sudama the florist offered garlands to Krishna. Whether we'll offer something to Krishna or not is entirely a matter of choice. Entirely a matter of choice. Whereas the washerman decided not to offer, Kubja and Sudama the florist decided they would offer. And as I always say in my talks, the only one property of every living entity is what is called a Swatantriya Ratna, the precious gem of choice. Nothing belongs to us. Krishna has given only one property to the soul, choice. Everything else is Krishna's. The soul is Krishna's, the body is Krishna's, everything is Krishna's. Only one thing doesn't belong to Krishna. Funny, isn't it? Krishna is the proprietor of everything and is given one thing in this world which doesn't belong to him. The choice of the living entity. You know, that choice is the property of the soul. And what one will do with that choice is entirely a choice. Isn't it? What to do with that choice is entirely a choice. Kubja decided to offer this ointment. She gave Krishna a yellow ointment and she gave Balram a blue ointment. So on Krishna's blackish body, there was this blue paste that he put. I'm sorry, Krishna's blackish body with yellow paste he put. And what a contrast. You know, like we have deities, when they have a backdrop which is dark, and the outfit which is light, stands out. Krishna's blackish body, yellow ointment. And Balram's white body, blue ointment. Dazzling. Gopis also went to give things to Krishna. The wives of the Brahmanas also went and gave Krishna, despite objections. But they offered whatever they offered to Krishna in a secluded place. Kubja offered these things in front of the palace of Kamsa. She knew what the repercussions would be. What a risk that was. She was glorifying Krishna right in front of the palace of Kamsa in Mathura. She was offering the ointments that are meant for Kamsa right in front of the palace of Kamsa in Mathura. God, that required a lot of courage. Tremendous courage. Kubja, she has offered whatever she had to Krishna. Even if the results were otherwise, she did not bother. She did not worry about it. She took a massive risk. Risk of doing it. And sometimes in Srila Prabhupada's movement also, so many of Srila Prabhupada's devotees and disciples took such massive risks. Uttam Shlok Prabhu is here. Yesterday he was telling, day before, he was telling some stories from Russia. That place, Russia. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj entering into Russia behind the Iron Curtain. What a risk. It was like entering into the palace of Kamsa. KGB was what? Kamsa governing body or something? You know. I'm sorry. Uttam Shlok Prabhu, pardon me. Kamsa's governing body or something? I don't know. What an adverse situation to preach. Devotees in China, communist regime. Devotees in Kazakhstan. Devotees in the Middle East. What risks? A place like Saudi Arabia. To preach Krishna consciousness there. If I start telling you some of the stories of the execution of people who go against the law. My God. The kind of risks devotees take. Is the spirit of Kubja. You know. Kamsa is there and Kamsa will do something. Let him do whatever he does. But I won't stop giving my life to Krishna. You know. Shamsundar Prabhu. Malti Devi. You know. Gurudas Prabhu. Yamuna Devi. Mukunda Maharaj. And Janki Devi. What a risk. To come to England. No money. Hardly any money. Living in those cement pipes with a little baby Saraswati. What a risk. You know, that's a great devotee. Taking so many and Srila Prabhupada, any less risks? My God, what risks with no one known in the United States with two heart attacks going there, risking so much to preach Krishna consciousness. You know, Kubja took such a big risk, requires a lot of courage. Hanuman took such a big risk. What courage to go in front of Ravan straight. You know, like Kubja is in front of Kamsa's palace, Hanuman was in front of Ravan's palace, burning the whole of Lanka. What courage! You know, and therefore we all have a choice. All have a choice. If we want to give our lives to Krishna, choose to give our lives to Krishna, Krishna makes our lives beautiful. And therefore, there is nothing like a perfect day in Krishna consciousness. There will never be one, there has never been one, and today is not the day. There has never been one, there will never be one, and today is not the day. There is nothing like a perfect day in Krishna consciousness. There is nothing like a perfect round we can chant in the state of our conditioned consciousness. There is nothing like a perfect mantra we can chant in our state of conditioned consciousness. You know, there is nothing like a perfect darshan we have had. Perfect darshan. You know, even there we will say, I think that flower should have been somewhere else actually. Nothing like a perfect prasada we have ever had today, so far. I think it's not the right menu. You know, there's nothing called as perfect in life. There's only one thing perfect. We can perfect one thing. We can have one perfect thing in life. A perfect moment. That can be ours. A perfect moment. We give too much of a target to us in Krishna consciousness. Isn't it? I have to chant my 16 rounds properly. What a target. What a good dream, fantasy. I want to chant my 16 rounds properly. Therefore, His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu says, forget 16 rounds, Baba. Try one mantra. Then He says, don't worry about a mantra. That is too much for the mind. One mantra is too much for the mind. One name. You read the book Japa by His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu and you'll find there He recommends one name. A perfect moment. And what is a perfect moment? A perfect moment is a moment of right choice. We can't have a perfect hour because in an hour to make the right choice for 1 hour is difficult. But to make a right choice for one moment, something within our grasp. Something within my grasp. Okay, this moment let me be Krishna conscious. One moment. One moment let me do it. And those moments pile up to become a minute. Those minutes pile up to become an hour. That hours pile up to become days. Days pile up to become weeks. And weeks pile up to become years. And years pile up to become a lifetime. Therefore, bhakti is a matter of making moment by moment choices. Not minute by minute choices. It's a moment by moment choice of how we want to remain Krishna conscious and offer everything to Krishna. In any case, Kubja offered all those ointments to Krishna. And what did Krishna do? What did Krishna do? Krishna is Amalena Chakshusha. Mala means dirty. Chakshu means eyes. And Malena Chakshusha means dirty eyes. Material eyes. Constantly looking only for the things. But what is Amalena Chakshusha? Amalena Chakshusha means one who has pure vision. Who sees beyond the thing. Who sees beyond the veneer. He sees beyond the curtain. He sees beyond the body. He sees beyond all the defects of the hunch, the crookedness, the three vakras. He can see beyond it all. Amalena Chakshusha. This word Amalena Chakshusha comes when Akrura brings Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura. And when he's going to bring Krishna, Akrura prays to Krishna in his mind as he's going to Vrindavan. And he says, the Lord is Amalena Chakshusha. He will understand my intention. He sees beyond my political position as a minister of Kamsa. He sees beyond my being on a mission to take him to Mathura to kill him. My Lord will definitely understand my intention. And therefore those devotees who are tuned with Krishna, even they are Amalena Chakshusha. They see the intentions. They don't see the things. They don't see the externals. Kamsa, oh God. He never bothered about Kubja. He only bothered about the things that Kubja brought. He was interested in the oils. He was interested in the perfumes. He was interested in the ointments. And he kept glorifying all that stuff. Never ever said a good thing about Kubja. He didn't even know the name of Kubja for that matter. You know, that is material civilization. That is material vision. Where we always go by the external things. And Krishna, on the other hand, had nothing to do with the ointments. He had everything to do with her bhakti, her intention. So whereas Kamsa enjoyed the oils and ointments, Krishna enjoyed the spirit behind the oils and ointments. But today, we are all so much after gifts, isn't it? I don't know if you ever get a gift. I get so excited when I get a gift. If someone's wrapped it up, no? I have to wait. When will these people leave, you know? I want to open the gift and see whether it's an iPhone, whether it's an iPad, whether it's a fantastic watch. What is it inside? Shallowness means to go by things. Evolution of consciousness means to go by the spirit behind the things. When our consciousness is very shallow, we go by the things. When the consciousness evolves higher spiritually, then we go by the spirit behind the things. It's not the thing that counts. It is the spirit behind the things, the intention behind the things. And to Krishna, definitely that is what counts, the bhakti. So he never saw the ointments. Whatever the ointments were given by Kubja, blue, yellow, if it was absolutely albino pink, he would put it. If the ointment was albino pink, Krishna would put it. Although men don't put albino pink on. Nowadays they have, you know. Yeah, they have. I've seen many men dressing up in pink. Pink is generally meant to be a color that ladies use. That's their softer side, softer kind of color. Ladies generally use the pink color. Of course, if some gentlemen are wearing pink, please don't get me wrong. You know, I'm nothing to say that pink is a wrong color or it just how it has had a connotation from the beginning of history, that is what has had a connotation. Pink means generally ladies use pink color. But men, some men can, I've seen some men use pink color. But it's a modern kind of thing, which is fine. I'm not kind of commenting on that. I'm saying even if Kubja would have given an albino pink ointment, it wasn't the color. Whereas Kamsa was concerned about colors and fragrances, Krishna was concerned about the spirit behind the colors and the fragrances. And that's exactly what Krishna thoroughly enjoyed when Kubja offered it with devotion. And what happened? Now Krishna was so pleased that she had taken such a risk to offer this to him. He decided to reciprocate back. And how much does Krishna reciprocate? Krishna reciprocates way beyond what we give. Sometimes, you know, students in class, they write, scribble something, but the teacher who is really loving and kind, marks their papers like anything. Way beyond what they have written, isn't it? Way beyond. Sometimes students, what all they write, you can't imagine. One teacher asked the student, in which battle did Tipu Sultan die? The student said, in his last battle. You know? asked, where was the Declaration of Independence signed? He said, at the bottom of the page. What is the main reason for divorce? He said, marriage. When was Mahatma Gandhi born? On his birthday. In which state does Ganga flow? Liquid state. You know. How would you divide six mangoes amongst 20 people? He said, make mango milkshake. Sometimes what students can write in their examination answers. Hilarious what they could write in an exam answer. And still, when the teacher is kind, it passes, you know. Prabhupada told the story. funny story. Prabhupada was so funny, my God. Funny. Prabhupada told the story. So, there was this one man and one student in college. And the teacher said, in the history paper, there was a thing, write essay on Haridwar Basta. So when the student got the paper, he saw, he didn't know anything about Haridwar Basta. So then the student wrote, Haridwar Basta was the Dovendi lactylized by the Plactoni of Tinda. Prabhupada told the story, Haridwar Basta was the Dovendi lactylized by the Plactoni of Tinda. Then Prabhupada said, so the teacher looked into the dictionary and there was no such words. He made up the words on the spot, put some alphabets together and made, and then the teacher said, oh my God, these words don't exist, but how creative. So she passed the student. Said, he's a very creative guy that has made this up, so let him pass him. So the student passed the exams. This is called the law of reciprocation. In this world, no one reciprocates more than what is given. People will under-reciprocate, but never over-reciprocate. That's how the world is. Material world is like that. Krishna always over-reciprocates. We give this much, and he blows it up so much, and reciprocates with us. What was the reciprocation? Krishna came to Kubja. After she had anointed them all, put both of his feet, it's quite amazing. He put both of his feet on her feet, stepped on her feet, you know. It's too much. Go and step on someone's feet like that, pressed both of her feet. And then with one finger of both of his hands, he put both of his fingers from both of his hands, one finger each, under her chin. Cut. You know, chiropractics. You know chiropractics? It's cut. In India, they have these guys called bone setters, you know. They've not studied anything. They've not gone to any university, medical college, nothing. But apparently, they have some mystic abilities. So when I had my knees, meniscal tear in both of my knees, there were so many suggestions. You know how suggestions are unsolicited. They just keep coming. Oh, you have this, oh, you do this, you do this. Hundreds of suggestions came. And at least 50 of them told, don't operate your knees. You know, and one devotee said, go to that bone setter. So I went one day. But before I said that this is what is paining, I said, let me try. So I didn't have any pain here. I said, this is paining a lot, sir, to see what he does. So he took my hand and he started twisting it in such ways. I said, Hari Bol, not you. Not you, man. What he will do to my knees, I don't know. So Kubja, Krishna just pressed on her toes and put his two fingers. She was hunchbacked, bent in three places. Cut, gave her a twist. And suddenly, she was straight, you know. Face was already beautiful. Varananam. But hunchbacked and Trivakra. Straight, all the bends gone, the hunch gone. And now she was extremely... She was already young. Yesterday I mentioned Yuvatim, Varananam and Kubjam. Already young lady. Extremely beautiful. And therefore Krishna's reciprocation is his touch. And the problem is we are not touched by Krishna in our chanting. There is no reciprocation many times. Krishna's reciprocation means his touch. And Shukadeva Goswami uses the word here, Mukunda Sparshanath. His reciprocation was his sparsha, his touch. As soon as the consciousness is touched by Krishna, Purijan Prabhu explains in his book Japa, he says we don't allow Krishna to touch our consciousness. We allow Krishna to touch our lips in form of chanting the holy names. But because we do not pay attention to the holy name, we don't allow Krishna to touch our consciousness. And when the holy name actually touches the consciousness, then immediately our internal beauty is revived. Therefore, ISKCON is a beauty parlor. You know, ISKCON is a beauty parlor where all of us have come here to become beautiful. One of our very senior brahmacharis in Chopati, he was telling a story recently in a class. I never heard him tell this. It was a very embarrassing story. I don't know how he told it. He told it in this morning Bhagavatam class where there were 600 devotees sitting and hearing. He said, one very senior Prabhupada disciple, all of us know her, Rukmini Devi, she came to Chapati and she was giving a Sunday feast class. And this very senior brahmachari, I won't mention name, he was sitting in front, right in the front. All of us were, because she's such a senior lady. We're all sitting there in the front to listen to her class. And as this brahmachari is sitting in the front, he was saying, he said, I had a very bad habit from the beginning of my, not bad, good, nothing, but a habit from my college days. He said, I had the habit of putting whoever I saw, whoever, anyone, whoever I saw and met into a time machine in my mind and take them back 10 years, 20 years, whatever their age is, 50 years back, and imagine how they would look then, you know. So here was this lady Rukmini Devi sitting on the Vyasasan, and this brahmachari was telling the story. He said, when I saw this lady, she's about 60 years old then, 55, 60, I said, she's so beautiful now. She's about 55, 60, she's so beautiful now. And he said, suddenly I put her in a time machine to just go back and see how she must have been when 30 years back when she first met Srila Prabhupada. And said, when I was just trying to imagine like that, immediately I just pinched myself. I said, what nonsense, you know. We are meant to hear and pay attention to the words, not to the looks. He just reminded himself. And then, of course, he just started hearing her. And she chanted Radha Madhava. And this is the first line she said when she spoke, gave her class. She said, when I met Srila Prabhupada for the first time, and then I came for initiation, Srila Prabhupada said, Rukmini, you are so beautiful. And this brahmachari was, my God, I was exactly thinking like this. This is exactly what I was thinking. And he said, Rukmini, you are so beautiful. And then she said, Prabhupada gave me the beads and said, Rukmini, you are already so beautiful in your looks. Now please start the process of becoming internally beautiful. You know, Prabhupada told her this line. And then this brahmachari in the class was saying, what is the initiation? Not change of name, not a long shikha, not new beads, in which, you know, 2 kilo potatoes can come, such big bead bags sometimes. You can go to the Tesco and buy two kilos potatoes also, such big bead bags sometimes. Not all that stuff. What is initiation? He was giving a good definition. He said, initiation means initiating the process of becoming internally beautiful. Initiation means initiating the process of becoming internally beautiful. And like Krishna touched Kubja, Sparsha, became beautiful. That's initiation. To start the process of becoming touched by Krishna, Mukunda Sparshanat, and become extremely beautiful internally in our consciousness, where all of these malices slowly, steadily, we can see that they go away. Purification of consciousness doesn't mean pure consciousness. That's a pure devotee. Pure devotee has no lust, no envy, no anger, no pride. For us, we are not looking for that stage also. For us, we are looking for only one thing. When lust, envy lurks its ugly head, can we keep it away? That purity we are looking for. Can we push it aside? We are not expecting for a pure heart. We are expecting when these things lurk their ugly heads, can we just push it away? If that is done, the beauty parlor has beautified us. Even if we can just push these things behind. And then finally, of course, when Kubja was straightened up by Krishna, now she was standing straight, beautiful. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, who was Kubja? Kubja is Satyabhama, Bhudevi, Bhushakti. There is Bhudevi and Shri Devi next to Vishnu. So Bhushakti is the internal energy of Krishna and represented by Satyabhama, also represented by Mother Earth, Bhushakti. And what does Earth give? What aspect of all the material elements, what does Earth provide? Water provides taste, fire provides sight, Earth provides fragrance. Kubja represents the Bhushakti. Therefore, what was she offering to Krishna? Fragrant perfumes and ointments. And because she represents Mother Earth, Bhushakti, she was bent in three places and had a hunchback. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, this meant the burden of all the demoniac elements on Mother Earth. Krishna came to planet Earth to wipe off all the demoniac elements. Dharma samsthapanarthaya vinashaya cha dushkritam. And therefore, by putting the two fingers at Kubja's chin, Krishna was indicating, very soon on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, I'll make you straight, my dear Earth, because Kubja represents Earth. You're burdened, you become hunchbacked, you become Trivakra, you become twisted in three places by these sinful demoniac kings. Very soon, I'll wipe off all of these personalities and make you straight. And therefore, Krishna is the supreme environmentalist, you know, very concerned about the environment of Mother Earth. And thus, those who receive Krishna's touch should also worry about climate change and environment. Also worry about climate change and environment for the simple reason that Krishna is not alone. He comes with his Shaktis. And when we honor the Shaktiman, we also honor his Shaktis. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada would never like, whenever there would be a water faucet open, but so annoyed. It's Krishna's energy. How are we wasting it? Dealing with Krishna's energy in such a gross way. I was in Guyana recently. They have banned all styrofoam plates in their temples. All styrofoam plates, cups. You know what they serve prasadam in? Guyana is a place where all the trenches, Caribbean, you know, beautiful place, Caribbean islands. Everywhere around in Guyana, there are trenches full of lotuses, pink and white lotuses. Leaves easily available. They serve prasadam in lotus leaves. Sunday festival and feast prasadam is for lotus leaf like this big. It's like a cup, you know. Beautiful. I had my prasadam. I said, don't give me a steel plate also. Lotus leaf. You know, it's amazing. So Krishna, of course, proves that he's a supreme environmentalist by putting Kubja straight and saying, I will put Mother Earth in place again. Last but not the least, the story concludes. When Kubja becomes straight, Kubja, she sees Krishna, and as mentioned in this purport, Kubja develops a conjugal desire towards Krishna and says to Krishna, come to my home, no? Oh, beautiful one, what do you mean, come to my home, spend some time with me. And you know what Krishna says? Yeah, girls like you are shelter for us homeless travelers. You read this. This verse comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and one devotee was asking, what is Krishna saying, Prabhu? What is he supporting? You know, you're teaching like this in your temples. So finally, our acharyas have explained why Kubja developed this conjugal desire. Why did she develop that desire? According to the Brahma Vaivarta Puran, it is explained who was Kubja. Kubja went through a ear nose surgery in her previous life. You know, because Lakshman was an ENT surgeon. You know, where he did ear nose throat surgeon. So Lakshmana did surgery on her nose. She wanted Ram. But she was used as a ping pong ball between Lakshman and Ram. They kept batting, you know, you go to her, go to him, you go to him. So once she was so annoyed, she went to pounce upon Sita. That's the time Ram said, no ping pong now. Surgery now. And then Lakshman cut off her nose. She went to Ravana, rushed, and the whole thing came up. Said, oh, but her desire for Ram didn't go away. She started performing penance to purify herself to get Lord Ram as her husband. She worshipped Lord Brahma faithfully. And then Lord Brahma said, your desire will be fulfilled, not now. One, because you are in Shurpanaka's body. And second, because Ram is Marya Avda Purushottam, Eka Patni Vrata, married only to one lady, Sita. In his next life, in his next incarnation as Krishna, he'll fulfill your desire. And therefore, Kubja was Shurpanakha in her past life. Therefore, when she was straightened up, it's not that suddenly she got this conjugal desire for Krishna. It was there from her as Shurpanakha. You know? And Hridayananda Maharaj, Gopi Pranandan Prabhu, explain in the purport that Kubja can be seen on two levels. One, as a liberated associate of Krishna, Bhu Shakti, having pastimes. Another, as Shurpanakha, teaching us what not to get from Krishna, what not to do with Krishna, not to satisfy our material desires with Krishna, like Kubja did, like Shurpanakha wanted her desires to be fulfilled. You know? So what to do? Ish Satyabhama, Bhu Shakti, liberated associate of Krishna. And what not to do, they have explained in the purport, is not to want anything from Krishna. This is the difference between Kubja and the gopis. Although Kubja had the courage, which gopis didn't show such courage in front of Kamsa, but gopis had nothing for themselves. They didn't want to satisfy their desire. They want to satisfy Krishna's desire. Kubja, on the other hand, wanted to satisfy her own desire. Nevertheless, the conclusion is akamaha sarvakamova mokshakama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena ejeta purushah param. Whether one is free of desire, whether one has his desire for liberation, whether one is full of material desires, when one approaches the Lord of Yajna, Krishna, and serves him with devotion, then one is slowly purified of those desires. But in Kubja's case, Krishna didn't purify her of the desire. Krishna actually fulfilled her desire because she wanted it. And Brahma had blessed like that. So after Krishna killed Kamsa, then he went to Kubja's home and fulfilled her desires, which is a very esoteric subject matter for a low person like me to speak. Wish to thank all of you very much for your kind attention. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samavet Gaura Bhakta Vrind ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Hare Hare Bol. Hare Krishna. Thank you.